Let me tell you guys a story of how I got where I'm at right now. Let me tell you the story about how I snapped. Let me tell you what happened that one night at Fayetteville, North Carolina, back when I was just delivering pizzas. That changed the way that I saw the world, pissed me off, reset my gauges, and gave me laser focus. Are you ready? It's the Dream Mover Podcast. Let's go. Your boy K. Cole.
And this is Keita Cole.
Hey, yo, it's good to check in with y'all again. Once again, we're here again with the Dream Mover Podcast. I'm so excited today because I was able to get my wife to convince her to come on the show. So, you know, I'm a little lit right now. I got some foolishness I want to get into. I got some dope topics I want to talk to y'all about. So make sure that y'all stay tuned. It's the Dream Mover Podcast. Let's go! So, I gotta ask you, babe, what's more important, degrees or certifications?
Certifications, by far.
Why do you think so?
Because I think certifications, I think they say that, hey, you are skilled in a particular area. They demonstrate how well you know a skill set. I think a degree is just, like, general, unless, I mean, of course you have your concentrations, but...
Right.
Definitely certifications.
Well, I'm not a big... I don't know if I necessarily agree with that. By the way, y'all, that's my tiniest baby girl, Catherine. I don't know if I necessarily agree with that. And the reason I say that is, so number one, I'm going to tell you, I stand beside you in the logic that certifications are starting to be bigger than the degrees themselves. But, you know what? No, I take back everything I just said. I agree with
you. I think degrees are vague. I mean, of course, you have your concentrations, and people will argue me, oh, well, you have concentrations. However, I think certifications really zone in on, you know, particular areas.
Exactly. If I want to hire somebody that's a project manager, I'm looking for the guy that's got the project management certification and not just a freaking MBA.
Yeah.
Now, granted, don't get me wrong. The beautiful thing I believe about an MBA is that a person that goes and gets an MBA can go straight into school, well, straight into a company, and they could be there for a couple years and be the CEO quick, fast, in a hurry. But if you're looking for somebody to be a technician, long time, long term, you're looking for that guy that is certified in that one task that can technically do the job. So I guess with that being said, I got to ask you this. Do you think we're getting to a point where companies are becoming so specialized, especially with the new forms of technology that are launching now? Do you think we're getting to a point now where if you're not a technologically certified person, that eventually you're not going to be able to run a company?
Mm-hmm. I want to say yes and no.
Why?
I mean, I feel like you, in a sense, you do have to have those skills because of how the market is changing, and that just increases your competitive advantage. But I also think that you need to be able to lead people. You need all those skills, those foundational skills that have nothing to do with technology.
But at the end of the day, if I teach you how to crunch some numbers, this is just me. If I teach you how to crunch numbers, you know how to do the accounting piece, you know how to run payroll, you know how to do all these common sense things. I mean, here's what I'm also thinking about. I'm thinking about the guy that was the high school, the college dropout, and just went and started his own company. And this cat did it with no certifications. So if I come in, I'm just smart enough to be able to do the basics, and I know how to lead. Shouldn't that be good enough? Because I think about military guys that come out. Guys come out of the military every single day, and some of them can lead twice as well and get twice as many results as the guy that has the degree. That guy that's got the degree is great. You've been in school, what? You got your first 4 years, and if a guy goes and get a master's, so we're talking 6 years. This guy's coming out of school with 6 years worth of knowledge. That's great, beautiful, perfect. But this guy has been in the military for 12 years. If you put the guy with 12 years of leadership experience, but the guy that just has 6 years of book sense, he's going to get stomped out every single time.
No, and I agree with you just because, again, like you said, like the person who's coming out of the military has had hands-on, like, real-life experiences, and the person who has been in an institution has had, I mean, book experience. I mean, of course, you may go out and you do your projects and whatnot and may have your, like, be in a team environment, but that's totally different from real-life experiences. I mean, books in an institution can't teach you real-life experiences.
And to keep it real with you, as soon as you walk out the door from the institution, I got it. You're smart to an extent, but it's just like with a car. Once you buy a car, the minute you drive it off the lot, it immediately depreciates. I believe that's the same thing that happens with your degree. As soon as you take that degree off the lot, your degree is depreciated. Because 24 hours later, there's brand new technology that's come out that has made your degree obsolete. And what's amazing is that with these certifications, they're getting so good with certifications that certifications can just be upgraded. They'll send you, hey, here's the new technology that came out for your certification. Now you have to know how to do this, this, and this. So it's like your certification never truly dies. It just grows over time. You just got to get it once and it lasts forever.
No, I agree. It's kind of like when you play Final Fantasy and you keep getting like the upgrade packs or whatever when they upgrade the game.
Y'all see how my wife just called me out for being a Final Fantasy nerd? So anyway, hey. We're going to cut this segment. We're going to go to the next piece. Y'all stay tuned. It's the Dream Mover Podcast. Stay on deck. Let's go.
Hey, look, I'm about to be very vulnerable with you guys because I think there's another male or another female out there that's going through what I'm going through at times. So in the past, I've set up a list of goals, things I wanted to accomplish within a certain time frame. And I'm always busting my time frame. And part of the reason that I constantly bust my time, which by the way, before I say this, is no excuse. You bust your time, you bust your time. And you really have to blame yourself, especially when you are the one that put the time frame on yourself. But the reason I bust my time is because I blame it on my family. Because as much as I want to put myself in an office and lock myself in there all day and do all of these big, bad, and great things, I also don't want to miss out on giving my family me. I don't want to miss out on giving the family time. So I find myself sitting on the couch and playing video games with my kids, or I find myself sitting around and just talking with them, trying to cuddle up with my wife on the couch. And by the time the day is drawing to its end, I am now sitting back on my couch. It's now 9 o'clock at night, and I am approaching that zone of being tired. And I am looking at myself and thinking, man, we just burnt through a whole day. And what did we get done? Nothing. Well, you know what we did get? We earned some family equity. Down the line, your wife, the kids, they'll be able to say once again, my daddy spent time with me. But where's the balance at, people? Where's the balance at in your life where you make time to say, hey, I love y'all. I genuinely do. But I also got to put some hours in over here to make sure that by the time you, who are now 6, 3, and 7 months year old, are now teenagers, that you're picking which car you want to drive to school. That my wife is now picking how many times a year she wants to go on vacations. My wife now has the money in pocket to be able to do all those things that she wants to do. And she doesn't necessarily need me for, she doesn't necessarily need me to help her to do all those things. And it's frustrating. It's borderline overwhelming at times. And what has to happen is you have to break that cycle and you have to get past your own emotions. You have to get past your own heart. This is where that whole IQ versus EQ comes in at, where your emotional intelligence overrides your raw intelligence. And you have to realize that, hey, maybe just this one time, maybe just these 2-3 times during the week, I have to put a couple hours in. And what's going to hurt, what's going to make you a little emotional is not seeing your kids sometimes. What I mean by that is having those couple nights where they're going to go to bed and they're not going to see you. And the only thing you're probably going to get to do is tuck them in the bed. If they're still awake, you may get to go sneak a quick conversation in, get a quick hug before they go to sleep at night. But if it means a decade down the line that they're taken care of and they can do what they want when they want, is it really worth it? Or is what's more important to you just being able to spend time with them and you don't care what the end of that road looks like? Everybody's brain is different. But I know in my case, because I have such high aspirations, these are the things that I think about. So today is my day where I declare to me that I'm going to break that shell. And I'm going to deal with that hurt. I'm going to cry these couple tears at night because I'm not necessarily there right beside them all day, every day. And I'm not giving them all this time in the evening. Then I'm going to take the days when I'm not there and I'm going to push myself to the limit. So that when I am spending time with them, I'm not necessarily thinking about work because I put in the time when I was working to where they did not have to worry about me. And I did not have to worry about work, vice versa, whatever the case may be. So I ask you to consider, I ask you to consider your situations. I ask you to think about what matters most to you now or later, and is what you do now going to project what you want to do later on? Is the fruit going to be worth you putting the seeds in the ground? So, this whole subject, the importance of the balance. Have you ever taken the time just to reflect on your habits throughout your day and to just review what it is that you do more than anything else? Like, for example, I could confidently say that I may have the intention of looking at social media once, maybe twice in a day. But what ends up happening when we start looking at social media? You start getting so wrapped into seeing what everybody is writing, everyone's doing. Oh, that hot girl, she just posted a photo of yourself, and now you up here, you Googling and goggling, looking thirsty on the internet and all that. But keeping it true with you. You end up looking at this stuff, and what you intended to be only like a 2 to 3 minute thing turns into like 20 or 30 minutes. And once you start adding up that time, you'll start realizing that half of your day is really being spent on the internet looking at stuff. You got to understand, we as people have gotten so used to being on the internet and doing everything in our lives based solely off of what we see in the internet, that we are losing time to be able to focus on the things that would truly help us grow. If you're on the internet and let's say your kick isn't social media, your kick is shopping, do you know that companies have built analytic teams? And when I mean analytic teams, I mean guys that are monitoring specifically what you are looking for, what you are researching. So when you type in Google that you're looking for that Super Bowl snapback fitted for the Philadelphia Eagles. That catch wasn't a catch. But anyway, when you're up here looking for that brand new snapback, do you know that somebody is marking that down? So when you go back into another social media platform like your Instagram or Facebook, you'll start seeing little messages, little cues that say, hey, are you interested in snapbacks? You'll get a random message from New Era Clothing. You'll get a random message from Mitchell & Ness. That's kind of how that process works. But there are people that are set up to get your information based off how you click to market to you appropriately. Here's the bigger, sadder picture I want to really get across to you. Companies are capitalizing on your ability to distract yourself. I'm going to say that again. Companies capitalize off of your decision to distract yourself. When you elect to be distracted on the internet, you are allowing companies an opportunity to see what it is that you like, how much you're buying in bulk, for them to find the deals that you need so the next time you get distracted, there is something available for you to where all you have to do is sign in, click on an item, add to cart, go to checkout, hit a couple buttons, and before you know it,
you've paid, they've taken your money, and you haven't gotten a step closer to what you're trying to do with your life. Now, look, I'd be sitting here lying to you guys if I said I wasn't a Amazon junkie. I'm a big Amazon junkie. Matter of fact, I just bought some last night. But what I have done is looked at my schedule, looked at my timing, and realized how much time I'm spending on social media, and made it an intentional goal to cut that time in half so that I could focus on the things that matter more, like family, like getting after my goals, like just living life in general. What I don't want to do is be tied to a computer the rest of my life, and I don't think you are either. I think at the rate we're going right now, people are going to become so needy and so obsessed with phones that we're eventually, you're going to need to have the internet implanted into your brain so you can press your forehead and a computer screen pops up. I don't know. I'm just talking right now, but you know they say in every joke there's something true. Just take the time to reset. Write out what are you looking at on a daily basis, on a consistent basis. How is it benefiting you? And if you cut it out of your life, what could you do with that time, or what can you do with those items no longer in your life as much or in your life at all?
Hey, look, spend your tax money on something that makes sense. I'm going to say this again. I know I'm irritating somebody. Spend your tax money on something that's going to make sense. Lord, here we go. Somebody else telling me about how to spend my money. It's my money. I work for it. I can do what I want to do with my money. And yada yada. Listen, I don't want to hear anybody screaming about systematic discrimination, about the way that the government is trying to tear you down, about how you're not getting equal opportunity, especially if you're getting a tax return that's right around $2,000, $3,000. I don't care if it's less than that. If you're getting any type of tax return whatsoever, that money could be used for overhead for a building. It could be used to invest in the stocks and bonds. It could be used to purchase tax liens. There are so many things that you can do with that money if you elect to use it wisely. Now, I understand there are certain people out there, you got to use your money to take care of your family. And that's okay. You got to do what you got to do. It's okay. And for you, that's a blessing in disguise, and it's wonderful. But for those that have the potential of using that money to do things that are positive for you, if you are investing in Nike, Jordan, Fendi, Gucci, all these stores, Michael Kors, whatever you want to say, you're investing in brand new cars, whatever the case may be, and you're getting it just for the leisure purpose when you already have stuff that's working fine and well, and you can utilize that money to build a come up and invest in something that's going to grow you long term, I truly do not want to hear about systematic racism when everything goes downhill. I don't want to see you 3-4 months from now coming out and saying that it's a hard knock life. Ain't nobody said that in years, but I don't want to hear you say it's a hard knock life. I don't want to hear you talking about it's a struggle right now because you were granted the money you needed to start brand new opportunities and new beginnings, and you elected to utilize your money in a wrong manner. You were elected to use your money in a way that wasn't going to push you to that next level. There are so many things you can do. Take some time. Google. Research. Pull out that book of those things that you wrote down, because if you've been with me a couple episodes now, you know one of the things I've been telling you guys is to write down what you want to do. Write down your goals and see where those things are going to – see what you can get done and get done over time. Is this money the money that you needed to get that project off the ground? Because if it is, hey, stop the presses. Instead of hopping on Amazon and seeing what's next to buy that can make you look good, that can make you feel good, how about hopping online and seeing what you can buy that's going to build you one step closer to your business? I know a lot of people who are musicians, recording artists, things of that nature. And you know what those guys do when their tax return comes around? All they do is buy upgrades to their software. They buy brand new microphones, they buy brand new equipment so they can improve the sound quality of their music so that it's more likely to sell to their customer base. Now, I know all of this sounds to a lot of people like, he's talking all finance, economics, accounting, blah, blah, blah. Oh my God, why doesn't this guy just be? It's because I care. It's because you were built to do something better. It's because you genuinely are. And I don't want to see another person that goes out here and spends their money like crazy to the same government that just gave them their money. Because pretty much all you did was they gave you a piece of paper and you gave it right back to them with nothing that's going to give you a long-term gain.
It's not worth it, guys. Take that time. Go back. Look at what you wanted to do. Remember what your mission was. Remember what I told you guys in episode one? Stick to the vision. Make like Jaden. I'm gonna need you to listen to the vision. Listen to your vision. If your vision told you, hey, we're gonna build this thing off the ground, we're gonna get this going. Hey, you got a little money right here? Hey, let's pay off this debt so when we wanna invest heavy, we good. Let's go ahead and buy this equipment so we can mill some better, a better quality sound studio. Hey, let's spend this money and give this business a shot. I'm gonna go ahead and build this overhead. Let me put this money as a down payment on that food truck that I wanted to buy. Because I got some friends that just want to buy food trucks. They don't want no big, giant buildings. They don't want all that. It's cheaper overhead. All I got to do is just have a freaking truck they ride around, cook a little something in the back. By the way, them food trucks be bumping. If you never had food out of the back of a food truck, you are 1, 2, 3, missing out. So, hey, with that being said, guys, all jokes aside, take some time when you get this tax money and invest it in something beneficial. Because I'm going to tell you right now, those companies are not investing in you the way that you think they are, and nobody is going to invest in you the way that you will invest in yourself. You know what's most irritating to me about the management of time? It's when I don't manage my own time right. I can't stand it. And the worst part about it is that as people, we take... You know when we normally realize that we are not using our time wisely? We normally realize we're not using our time wisely right when we are in the middle of not using it wisely. So then you get irritated, you get those bad vibes for a quick second. You might even curse for a second, flip out, whatever the case may be. Because I know people like that. They're like, man, I used my time wrong today. I didn't use my time wisely. I could have. And then your brain starts thinking about, I could have done this, I could have done that, blah, 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 blah. There's so many things that come to your mind. And the only thing you can really think of is, man, if I would have just used my time better. Let me be clear to you about something. The only person that can help define what good or bad time management looks like in your life is you. No one else controls your time management. At the end of the day, we have to take charge of how we manage our time. You got to take charge of it because you can point fingers at everybody around you. Great example. I personally like drinking coffee. So in the morning, sometimes me and my friends will meet up at Starbucks and we'll sit down and have a quick little chat. I'm a flat white. I like the flat white. And that's not a racist thing. It's an actual drink at Starbucks called a flat white. So I'll get a flat white or whatever and sit back and chill. My friends will get theirs and we'll sit up and chat. I stopped going to those meetings in the morning. And the reason I stopped going was because I started to identify that the time it took me to drive there, the time it took me standing in line ordering my drink, the conversation that I had with the same guys that I'm about to go to work with and chill with at work, I realized that I was cutting about an hour and a half out of my day when all I had to do was buy Starbucks coffee, put it in my house, put it in a cup, and brew it. And I have my own personal Starbucks coffee at the house. What I did was I saved myself money, and two, I saved myself time on top of it. Everybody likes having a chance to kick it with friends. I freaking love having time to relax with my team. But I also realize that every second, every minute during the day is important. And as long as everybody is getting their time with you that you are willing to allot to them, you gotta bite that bullet and be able to decide when you're getting enough time from me. I'm not willing to give this time to you, not right now. I need to use this on something else. Another thing that I don't like when my regimen is interrupted. That drives me insane. Now, there's people out there that personally don't like having regimens. And for those who don't know what that means being on a schedule that is almost, it's borderline ritualistic. when you and I are sitting, you and I are sitting together right now, 5 minutes from now, I know that Ken's gonna have to get ready to go take pre-workout, to go to the gym. And when I get done in the gym, I'm gonna come back home, and then I'm gonna read for about 30 minutes. And from 30 minutes, I'm gonna go and I'm gonna fold clothes. I'm only gonna fold up to one basket of clothes. If I have more, that basket waits till tomorrow morning. There are people that are exceptionally systematic about how they do things. And I sadly happen to be one of those people, but that's okay. You have to be willing to build a regimen and stick to it, remain committed to it no matter what. Because habits don't become habits just because you verbally say, I want a habit to form. So at my job, my manager, and I look up to this guy highly. This guy is a beast. When I say a time manager, time cruncher, money cruncher, vision oriented, everything has to have some sort of metric. This guy is all about keeping track of time. So let's talk about how you go about keeping track of your time so you don't lose it. Hey guys, that's all the time we got. Thank you so much for tuning into the podcast. Make sure you guys are rocking out with us on Anchor, Google Play, Apple Podcasts, all those good stations. Hey, and don't forget on Twitter at KDE63 and on Instagram, KDA as in K-duh, KDAE63. Hey, y'all be blessed. Have an awesome week. Move your dreams, move the world every day forever.